the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Dr. Cashy's free workshop. How to love using your body, even if it's embarrassing and it sucks. Overcoming the frustrations of achieving an active lifestyle so that you can actually enjoy using your body on purpose and with purpose.
Part one.
The purpose of this workshop is to apply the SRO model, the beloved stimulus response outcome model, to overcome the permission we give ourselves to be kind of lazy when it comes to using our bodies on purpose and with purpose. The basis of SRO's importance here is twofold. One, that if physical activity is perceived as a frustrating stimulus, S, and there are also frustrations blocking people from being active, then a person feels like they have to overcome a series of frustrations just so that they can do something even more frustrating. So why bother? May as well just avoid the frustration entirely. That makes perfect sense. So that's getting addressed. And number two, that if physical activity is tied to self-esteem, then it forces a sabotaging level of self-centeredness. That there's an inherent fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of embarrassment, and fear of opinions of yourself, opinions of other people, and what those things mean. So why bother? May as well just avoid the frustration entirely. Addressing and overcoming, making a sport out of avoiding sports, has three different approaches, and it pays to use them all. It really does. There's the cognitive, emotive, and behavioral paths or approaches. So the cognitive side is essentially the BS you tell yourself about it, the belief systems you harbor, the sabotaging thoughts and impulsive urges that arise from that BS. The emotive side is the ugly emotions and bad sensations you have around it, and the behavioral aspect, the behavioral path, the behavioral approach is essentially what you're doing to delay it, avoid it, or instead of it. In this workshop, you'll learn a few techniques within each realm. Well, there are a lot of them, so I'll be more specific and say that these are the techniques that have been tried and true and proven to work within the private clients, with the private clients at TKN, and Tabitha, of course, in her infinite good sportedness, has also decided to help throw herself under the bus here so we can pull from Tabitha's experiences. And she actually tried and used just about all of these things, and she was one of the original guinea pigs for this stuff. So the SRO model, the stimulus response outcome model, specifically focuses on helping people to use their bodies on purpose and with purpose by detecting distorted BS you tell yourself, the belief systems, describing that distorted BS, and then disputing that distorted BS so that you can replace it with some newer, better, more rational BS instead. This is most easily described as all the stuff happening in your old noggin between stimulus and response. Between stimulus and response. That's that cognitive emotive part, the thinking and the feeling and the urging on account of that frustrating stimulus before you respond, okay? Typically a frustrating stimulus, right? These responses lead to outcomes, right? Pull this back. These responses lead to outcomes, and these outcomes can be constructive, building tolerance and resilience, or they can be destructive, making things more difficult and often acting as frustrating stimuli on their own. Then, once that new BS is in place, kicking that old BS out the window, there, you're far more likely to build frustration tolerance around being active, having a healthy and active, healthier and more active lifestyle, so that you can actually enjoy it for its own sake and reap the rewards of physical activity as a side effect of just liking to move around. So that's pretty cool. This essentially entails finding the all or nothing, perfectionistic, and absolutistic kind of language and transitioning it into a more reasonable preference while fostering self-respect, where self-respect is most easily defined as forming conclusions about actions and outcomes rather than forming conclusions about yourself. If someone's lazy about exercise, does that make them a lazy person? No. There's just frustration avoidance in the context of exercise. So that's just one perfect example to describe the difference between self-esteem, where I'm kind of lazy around exercise, so that means I'm a lazy, terrible, horrible, awful person. No good, Nick. A louse. the old school language around here, or I actually do get a lot of stuff done. And when it comes to things like being active, I'm actually just kind of weird and lazy about that. And so that allows you to be a little more objective about yourself in the way that you observe your thoughts and behaviors so that you can address those things rationally, respond to them deliberately, okay? Rather than forming conclusions about yourself and your entirety because, well, that's silly, right? So this is where Tabitha again comes back into the fold. We basically now have carte blanche with talking about Tabitha now. She loves all the support you guys give her, so she's volunteering as much as she possibly can. When we had a short talk about all this stuff, I almost fell out of my chair laughing. Tabitha, having lost over 120 pounds, now kicked diabetes, binge eating, you know, childhood abuse, off all her meds, and now actually loves to use her body when before she absolutely couldn't stand it. She can't stand it. And she hated it. She hated using her body for anything and was ashamed and was embarrassed to do it. And she hated herself even more for it. There's that self-esteem monster talking, okay? Since she hated exercise, hated moving around, hated doing anything, she used it and made it easier for her to give herself permission to start hating herself, okay? And that's the difference between self-respect and self-esteem. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, in regard to the sport, making sport out of avoiding sports and exercise, Tabitha claimed to be the empress because Tabitha's that spicy. Screw being queen or even princess of anything, she says. She's the empress of making sport out of avoiding sports. She even went as far to quote James Thurber. I think that's how you pronounce his name. A famous cartoonist about 100 years ago who said something like, he would say something like, "Don't worry, if you ever get the urge to exercise, just remain calm and lie down until it goes away." That's how intense Tabitha was about avoiding movement of any sort. After Tabitha became obese, then high blood pressure, then dyslipidemic, that's screwy cholesterol and triglycerides and stuff, and then diabetic, and then just total metabolic syndrome madness, okay? She started getting back pains and then nerve pains and then migraines and then started getting osteoarthritis, like her joints actually started getting damaged and then more back pain. So body was falling apart, she said. She discovered the importance of using her body the hard way by realizing her body was important to use and that it was too damn hard for her to use it, in her words. So everywhere she turned, she felt like she was an old car. Rusty hinge here, blown out gasket there, needed to change the oil more. Everything was so much effort, she couldn't stand it anymore. So she began, as you might now know, on the nutrition side first. She saw good progress there with TKN, and obviously, thank goodness for that, it did quite literally make it easier for her to use her body. The thing before the thing, as my friend and mentor Dominic Mateo would say. She lost quite a bit of her body weight, and that actually made it physically easier for her to do things. Her body would hurt in the morning and then get better throughout the day, you know, when it first started, sometimes at least. But if she sat too long, then her back would start hurting. If she was standing too long, then her back would start hurting too. What the hell? Eventually got to a point where she was hurting when she woke up, hurting during the day, and hurting when she went to bed. She barely would be comfortable in a recliner, but then she was also super fat and hated herself and would spiral out and get a case of the I can't stand it-itis, right? The why bothers. In some cases, it was a why bother even being alive sort of situation. So after she lost her first 80 pounds or so, even though she's down over 120 now, she decided to take TKN up on their offer to get her groove back, literally. Her joints were all wacky. That's a nice way of describing it. She told Dr. Cashey, okay, it's time to grind away all the pointy bits. To give you an idea of where she was at there. Her joints were silly angles, pelvis was all off, lots of pain, obviously still massive body weight. And this is partly why, along with her massive body weight, she started getting legitimate arthritis in her early 30s. So after consulting with Dr. Cashey and a few of TKN's movement experts and other endorsed physical therapists, doctors of physical therapy, she had enough motivation to at least try something that would help alleviate her pain. Turns out after doing some of this fat girl yoga, she called it, she felt a heck of a lot better. Lots of her nerve pain subsided, back pain went away. And because she felt better, she started moving around more on accident. Instead of on purpose, she started moving around more on accident. The amount of steps that she accumulated throughout the day went up by 75%, and this was almost totally on accident. You heard that right. Tabitha was moving around nearly twice as much because she felt better. Because she felt better, she just started moving around more. How cool is that? And by moving around more, she felt better still, then slept better, then her headaches went down, and that regulated her appetite better, and a whole host of other magical, psychophysiological phenomena started happening. And she said, don't let this get to your head, Dr. Cashy. I still give two shits about being fit. Remember that like it was yesterday. However, Tabitha did admit that if she ever got the urge to exercise, instead of laying down until the feeling passes, she would decide to think about it harder and walk around the block and think about it until it went away. So that concludes the introduction to this workshop on how to love your using your body, even if it's embarrassing and it sucks. So thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!